I received $920,000 from my father, but when my husband found out, he asked me to transfer it to his bank account so he could buy a house for his parents. I refused. The next day, he called me laughing and said, "I've burned your money. Now enjoy your life on the streets." I couldn't help but laugh because the money he burned was. My name is Kathleen. I'm 31 years old, a hardworking woman focused on my career. I live with my husband, Patrick, in a house we share. Recently, I've been thinking a lot about starting a family. However, Patrick has different ideas. He believes we should save enough money to build our own house and settle down before having children. Because of this, we are both working hard to save for our future home. Even though I want children soon, Patrick stands firm on his decision. Whenever I bring up the idea of starting a family, he reminds me of the importance of getting a house first. It's upsetting that he doesn't seem to understand how I feel. To help us reach our goal faster, I've decided to work even harder to contribute to our savings. Patrick and I have been married for a year now, and I've noticed something about our relationship. He doesn't often take my opinion seriously. This was true even when we were dating. Back then, I admired how strong-willed he was, but now I realize that marriage should involve both partners respecting each other's views. I'm starting to worry about our relationship. Things feel even harder because his parents are so involved in our lives. Patrick's parents live nearby, and he visits them often. He says these visits help us save money. However, I found out that he sometimes goes out for drinks with his coworkers but doesn't count those costs in his savings plan. It feels unfair that he is so strict about saving when it comes to me but more relaxed about his own spending. He even tells me to use less hot water and turn off lights quickly, yet he doesn't follow these rules himself. If he treated us equally, maybe our relationship wouldn't feel so unbalanced. Every week, we visit Patrick's parents, and it feels like there's always a new issue. They often ask, "It's been a year since you got married. When will we get to see our grandchild?" Their constant comments put a lot of pressure on me. Meanwhile, Patrick just sits quietly and doesn't say much to support me. This situation is very frustrating. I feel like I'm carrying the weight of these expectations by myself. Patrick's focus on saving and his parents' pressure to start a family make me feel stuck. Marriage should be about partnership, where both people listen to and support each other. I hope Patrick and I can learn to work together better, not just on saving money but also on making decisions that matter to both of us. I want our marriage to feel like a true partnership, where we both feel heard and valued. Recently, during a family dinner, Patrick's parents began badgering me about having a child again. I could see Patrick glaring at me disapprovingly, as if silently telling me not to say unnecessary things. One of his parents even said, "Kathleen, it seems like you're always working. If you want to be a proper housewife, you should quit your job and focus on being a good wife. Maybe that's why Patrick isn't paying attention to you." Their words felt like a slap. It sounded as though they were blaming me for not having children simply because I have a career. I couldn't hold back any longer. "It's Patrick who asked me to work in the first place," I retorted. "If you're so concerned about this, why don't you talk to your son first instead of lecturing me all the time? I want children too, but Patrick refuses to even consider it until we have a house. If you want someone to convince, start with him. Stop putting all the blame on me." My words left them stunned. There was silence around the table as I stood up, muttered an apology, and walked out. By the time I reached the entrance, my anger had shifted toward Patrick. There he was, casually smoking by the door as though nothing had happened. I climbed into the car without saying much, but Patrick followed me and asked, "Hey, are we leaving already?" He sounded completely unbothered by what had just happened. Knowing he would never be honest with his parents about the situation, I felt fed up with all the stress they were piling on me. As the car started, I told Patrick firmly, "I'm not visiting your parents' house anymore." He looked shocked and asked, "Why not?" "We save on food expenses by eating there. Plus, you want a house and kids too, don't you?" That was it for me. I couldn't take the constant demands anymore, from his parents or from him. Both seemed more interested in blaming me than working together. To solve the real problems, it was clear things needed to change, and I wasn't going to keep quiet any longer. I snapped and said, "If saving money is so important, why don't you cut back on things like your drinking parties or smoking? Instead of driving all the way to your parents' house just to save on one meal, why not focus on saving money in ways that actually make a difference?" My frustration boiled over as I continued, "Everyone needs a break sometimes, but you keep putting all these rules on me, like not using hot water or making sure the lights are off by 9 p.m. Do you think we can save money without you sacrificing anything? If I have to do all of this alone, then I don't even want the house. I'm tired of this." Patrick brushed it off, saying, "It's not a big deal." But I shot back, "No, it is a big deal. How much patience do you think I have? I've put up with this for so long. I'm also angry about how you act in front of your parents, pretending that I'm the reason we aren't having children. I'm tired of always being blamed for not giving them grandchildren. It's not me who doesn't want kids, it's you. I've been saying for ages that I want children soon, so stop being so stubborn. Seeing Patrick struggle to handle my unusual burst of anger gave me a small sense of relief, but it didn't fix everything. I turned away and stared out of the car window, ignoring him. I felt exhausted and unsure of what to do next. 2 months later, something happened that shifted things between us. My father's brother, my uncle, passed away. He had been wealthy, owning several pieces of land, a grand mansion, and living a luxurious lifestyle. His passing seemed to catch Patrick's attention. "Wow, I didn't know you had such an impressive relative," he said, clearly surprised. A few days after my uncle's death, I received news about his inheritance. I decided to discuss the details with a lawyer at our apartment. The inheritance was solely related to me, so I knew it wasn't something that involved Patrick. When the lawyer arrived, I politely asked Patrick to leave the room. He looked uncomfortable with the topic of inheritance anyway, and it was a personal matter that didn't concern him. The entire experience made me reflect on our relationship. Patrick's behavior, from his frugality to his unwillingness to compromise, had worn me down. Yet here he was, suddenly intrigued by my uncle's wealth, even though he had been so dismissive about everything else. It was frustrating and disappointing. The inheritance meeting felt like a moment where I could focus on something for myself without his interference or criticism. It made me realize I needed to stand up for myself more often and not let Patrick's controlling ways dominate every aspect of my life. I also wanted to keep Patrick out of any trouble that might arise if he got involved in the inheritance discussion. After about 6 hours of listening to the lawyer explain all the details, I thanked him for his time and said goodbye. When I finished, I noticed Patrick, who had been at home earlier, was nowhere to be found. I figured he had stepped out to avoid interrupting the meeting, so I started preparing dinner, not thinking much of it. 5 months later, Patrick came up to me and said, "There's something I want to show you." Without giving much explanation, he took me for a drive. I felt a mix of excitement and curiosity as we entered a residential area, but my confusion grew when we parked in front of a house I didn't recognize. Patrick pressed the doorbell, and to my surprise, his parents came out to greet us. "This isn't their house," I thought, feeling uneasy. My father-in-law welcomed us, saying, "You finally made it. When are you moving in?" "Kathleen, you should get ready to live here with us by the end of the month." His words caught me completely off guard. He then went on to accuse me of being a selfish daughter-in-law and said I was the one always blaming Patrick for the delay in having children. I shot a sharp look at Patrick, stunned and upset. Why would he bring me here after I had made it clear I didn't want to visit his parents anymore? Trying to make sense of what was happening, I asked Patrick why he had done this. He shrugged casually and said, "Don't get so angry. If we live together, it will help you and my mom get closer. Besides, this will be our new home. Now you can watch the second part by pressing share and more."